Radio. It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening, and God bless each and every one who are in the listening audience tonight. I come giving love and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we're here, and I'm pleased to give us a history talk. And some may be just first-time listeners, so I've always been a person to try to let. I really don't believe in coming or starting reading a book in the middle of a book. I believe to get a complete understanding, you have to start the book from the very beginning and read it to its end so you could get a complete picture, or paint a panoramic picture. You can't get half of a puzzle and tell what the complete puzzle is about. Before we go into it, we have some things that's going on now, and it will be history. We have things going on with a president who, where it seems as though he's trying to start a race war. He had mayors and others who don't want him to come to their city because he's stoking violence. We have young blacks that's being killed at an alarming rate. And it seems as though many whites find excuses for policemen killing young African Americans. He should have laid still, either why he moved. And I've seen dogs biting kids and the kid wiggling on the ground. And as the dog bite into his legs, into his bone, they're howling for him to be still. And I thought that was paramount for us to look at the picture and see the picture as a whole. This has been going on for centuries, for hundreds of years. This has been the treatment that blacks have been getting from slavery time until now. I'm very, very pleased with the basketball players and other athletes who are coming together saying enough is enough. This has to end. I was telling one of my friends today, Coach Darrell Brown, that I don't like to hear people when they tell African Americans that things take time. Because who can't just say that I'm going to treat you fairly? Who cannot just say you're going to be treated and the Constitution of America, that all men are created equal, that we're endowed by our own Creator with certain ineligible rights, among those rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Why would it take 155 years and we're still going through the same traumatic experiences? Blacks are being hunted down on the street by people because they jog through their neighborhood. You walk down the street picketing in a neighborhood, the people come on their lawns with their guns drawn. A kid just recently came to Kenosha, and he came from out of state with an assault rifle. Shot three, killed two, and walked right by the police, knowing that if he was African American, he'd be shot and killed. But our president found nothing wrong with what he'd done. So what he's doing, he's stroking violence, he's telling lies, trying to make white. If blacks was going to attack whites, they would have been attacked white people. That white blacks going to come in your home and attack you, but he don't call a name. So what he's doing, he's stoking it. It's called a race baiting, a race calling, a whistle blowing. He's not going to say blacks are going to do it, but he'll say we're not going to allow low-income housing in suburbia. So we're going through so much, and then we have a pandemic. We have COVID-19, and it's been mishandled. Other countries closed their whole country down. But this president that we have, he never closed the whole country down that we could catch a hold to it. New York was closed down, and they're gone down so low now, they set a record of the United States, what we should have done. But they had the correct leadership with a mayor, and they had a governor that closed it down, shut it down. France shut theirs down, France down. South Korea shut South Korea down. China shut China down, and they got a hold of it. We done had over 6 million cases, over 180 million deaths, and people on ventilators today, all because of a president who value money above lives. Before I start my history talk, I have to say these current events that's going on. People are tired of young girl Breonna Taylor. She's sleeping in her bed. Her and her boyfriend is there. And she gets shot 8 times. More than those shots were fired. But the guy that they were looking for and had a subpoena for, he was already incarcerated. He was in jail. But nothing had been done about her death. It goes on and on. I can't breathe. It's more than one person can't breathe. Trayvon Martin leaves to go get a soda and Skittles and can't make it back home and kill. And the person who killed him get away with it, Mark Zimmerman. And on and on. It goes on. A 12-year-old kid this 12-year-old kid is playing in a park. And as this 12-year-old kid playing in a park with not a real gun, police have gunned down this kid. There's so much of it going on. It's not like it's a random thing that's happened. It's repeating every time you look. Some kid is getting beaten, or the police chief is getting fired because they catch them saying how they feel. But what hurts me is the fact they could go somewhere else and get a job, or they say they put them on unpaid leave. Well, you bring that bigot right back into the same situation that he's over black folks. These are racists, and we have a racist as a president. He's xenophobic. He's a misogynist. This guy's a bigot. I mean, it's through and through. And who, and for those who are voting for him, I don't like the bad mouth people. But what drugs are you taking? What alcohol are you drinking? What planet are you on not to see this man as being a con man and a liar, one who told 20,000-plus lies in less than 4 years? Everything that he promised you he was going to do, he haven't done. Mexico going to pay for the wall. They said he did 300 and something miles of wall. That's not true. Maybe about 3 miles of new wall. The other is replacement wall with a different type. So he haven't really done anything. He was going to bring back coal mining jobs. So steel mine, not so. He put a tax on, he talks about taxing China. Well, if you tax China, when we send export things to China, they're going to up our tax to send it to them, to ship it to China for export. You got import and export taxes. Well, then after they have to pay more to purchase the goods from China, that means the grocery store than the other people, they have to pay more. So you pay more for the goods when you go to the grocery store because of what this man have done. And he said, China is not paying for anything. It's the people. When are we going to wake up? We paying for that. Then you got grains and silos just rotting because people are not buying from America like they used to be anymore because he raised taxes and raised it up on them. Yes, people can make more when they ship it, but when they purchase it, they have to pay more to bring it in the country. So all these things are occurring right before our very eyes. And we're falling asleep. And I would like to say that, too, before I go off into my history talk, because I wish more people of other color would listen in on this radio broadcast, because it's time that they tell the truth and we tell the truth about who we are, where we came from, as a species of human being, as anthropos, as mankind. Well, it's time that we get to it, but man have been here for so many years, but nevertheless, this guy have this country so messed up that Merkel of Germany, they don't want him to come to Germany. He can't go to Parliament right in Great Britain, our top ally. They would say he cannot come there because they won't allow him to go to the largest place or where other dignitaries meet because he's too divisive. He's turned most of our allies against us by talking about them. He broken treaties, like said he was going to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. All you did was brought the people out there watching them to keep them from having a nuclear weapon. Not nobody said they could do what they want. He was going to stop North Korea. They still were shooting missiles. They refined in whatever they want to refine now. All because we have a dummy in the White House. When are we going to wake up and say, man, you got to get out of here. You are a dummy. You filed bankruptcy 7 times. That means you're not a good businessman. You had schools that didn't go. You had airlines that didn't go. You had gambling casinos. You had other hotel and other space that did not work. Where do you get it from that you're supposed to be so smart? The businesses that people think you have were not your businesses. They were your brand. You're making more money now off of your golf course from getting our taxpayer money to pay for you to come go play golf 3 times a month and take the security people and all these people, your entourage, have to go. Everybody has to pay, and they pay you, and that's supposed to be against the rules of government. When the people come from out of the country, they stay at your hotel. You don't supposed to be making money off why you the president. When we look at these things, you need to stop. This is not what we're looking for. A long shot. So as we get ready to go into now, we're going to go into history. And the history that we're going to go into, it starts off when I talk about history, we need to look up where did man come from. Why that word, when it comes from the religion, it's a word that is used, anthropology. And that's the study of mankind. Well, where did man come from? Your best scholars and scholars, you know, when you say an anthropologist, that's somebody proficient in the study, you know, the study of mankind. And it all starts back to the earliest thing possibly found was Lucy. And then Lucy is called Australopithecus. And they found a skeletal fossils in Ethiopia in 1974. And it was founded by Donald Johansson and Tom Gray. They were looking for rocks and other artifacts, and they stumbled upon a skeletal remain of a female. And they dated it back to 3.18 million years ago, and they call her Lucy. And she was found in Africa. We all know that Africa is the cradle of civilization where mankind had its first beginning. It was never in Europe. And I find it strange that all these European book writers and others have whitewashed. You want to whitewash Africa, you make the Egyptian pharaohs and all kind of other people. You make those of African descent, you turn those into white folk. But we're going to get to that. Now, why Professor Louis Leakey and his wife Mary Douglas Leakey, both of them like paleontologists and they who discovered the first fossil of what Proconsul skull, and it was like an extinct ape. But that, some say that was the transition from an ape to a man, but most people beg the difference because even with Lucy's skeletal remains went back over 3 million years. Matter of fact, 3,180,000 years ago. Okay, they also found, discovered a robust, what they call Zinzanthropus, a skull in the Ogoodibo Gorge in Tanzania. And that's in East Africa. Professor Leakey also found several archaeological and anthropological artifacts of apes and humans. And by excavating in that Ogoodibo Gorge, they found different weapons, like axe, they found arrowhead, and they told that back in history that the people were creative, that the people were not apes, that they were able to form weapons, that they were able to do things. Now, this is when it says Zinzanthropus, I'm talking about East Africa. That is south, a little south around, it's right south of Ethiopia, going to Kenya and going down that around Ogoodibo Gorge and Tanzania. And also, we trace ourselves back to the matriarchal. And the matriarchal, you have patriarchal and matriarchal. And if we trace ourselves back in DNA that goes back, it was a matriarchal heritage. But it was called mitochondria DNA. It's found within every human cell. Now, theoretically, we have common ancestors. In essence, we have the same DNA. Most individuals have the same DNA because we came one person. Now, it's ironic that they found this lady, the woman, and they discovered the skeletal remains of a woman, and they gave her the name Mitochondria Eve. As the Bible says, Adam and Eve, where they found Mitochondria Eve. And they say Eve lived between 100 to 200,000 years ago in around South Africa, and she was not the first human, but every other female lady eventually, evidently they had no other female had offspring or failing to pass on the mitochondria DNA. As a result, today, now I want you to pay close attention to this. As of today, all humans can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to mitochondrial Eve. Within her DNA and that of her peers existed all the genetic variations we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Since 200,000 years ago, every one of us, if you're from Europe, if you're from China, if you're from Russia, Czechoslovakia, Japan, if you're from the Pacific Isles, we all carry Eve's mitochondria DNA. And see, we see in contemporary humans, since Eve time, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups that we have today. And all of us carry the marker of Eve. And what's so ironic about that mitochondria, because we know that females have X chromosomes, those who are a little astute in knowing the thing about botany, and you'll know that females have two X chromosomes and a man have X and Y. Therefore, the DNA or the mitochondrial DNA will be more heavy, found more female than male. And so it is that you could find this lady Eve chromosome more explicitly. Now, it's in everybody, but you can find it more explicitly in black females. And then you could next year be a black male because they came from Africa. And I'll tell you why it can be found. But now, they found that they also discovered a man, a fossil of a man, who died about 315 years before Christ. We'll say 2,300 years ago. And they found a fossil in South Africa. And this fossil of a man that they found is the closest relative yet to humanity common to the female ancestry of mitochondria Eve, African. All this life started in Africa and mitochondria Eve, you know, and they know that he was a fisherman. They say blacks don't swim, blacks didn't have boats, black traveled the world. How do you think we got to all these different islands, even in the Pacific? You have black folks. So don't allow people, this all in the Americas. He fished in the coastal southern parts of Africa, and he was a genetic match to Eve. So evidently, she was his great-great-great-great-grandmother. She was a distant grandparent of him. And they found his fossil, that they found his fossil in St. Helen Bay in South Africa. And he was found by an archaeologist named Andrew Smith that was from University of Cape Town. So as we look at this, we know that Africa is the cradle of all of civilizations today. Now, it's important that we understand, we say, well, if everybody came from Africa, why are that? Why we look different and why are we different? And I'm glad that some people would want to know, and I wanted to know, well, if we came from Africa, why, how do we have Caucasian? Because I want to tell you something about this. The people were either known by the continent you came from. If you're from Africa, you're the African. If you're from Europe, you're a European. In America, in 1681, did they start calling themselves white? And this is right now. This is even why they separate the races to make themselves above others. You that to make themselves above the Native American and against the blacks that were slaves. So there was a Native American, the indigenous people, so they call themselves white. And all that is, that just tells you how racism and how the race is really started. Now, I want you also to know about out of Africa, when black people started leaving out of Africa, it was in between 80 to 70,000 years ago. After modern humans established themselves in Africa, from Africa was started and populating in Africa, smaller population branched off and established foothold in Asia before spreading east to the Americas and west to Europe. And they spread it all over the globe. But then you say, well, what, why? Well, you still have to say, well, a Japanese look different from a Chinese look different from a European, a Native American kind of face, Japanese a little bit, but I mean Chinese, but what happened? Why most people look different? Well, I'm glad that's another question that we're about to answer. And after you begin to do the study, I begin to go off into what you call genetics. And when I went off into genetics, I found out that when the people out of Africa, about 70,000 years ago, when people moved up into Europe and other climate, there was climate change. And when they moved where there was climate change, they went through what you call a mutation. And you might say, well, Dr. Kim, what is a mutation? A mutation is the change of the structure of genes resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generation, meaning it's passed on. You go through a change. You don't look the way you did. And this mutation is caused by alteration of single base units in DNA or deletion. Like even with whites today, they don't have melanin. A white person do not have melanin. So the melanin in their skin was deleted. Don't ever believe that all blacks have broad noses. That's a myth. If you go to East Africa, you could go to so many places in different parts of Africa, and they have pointed noses. But most of the ones in West Africa, you can find a lot in West Africa who do have the wide noses, who live around different jungle areas. Now, what I'm trying to say, a mutation, when it talks about a mutation, it's called by alteration of a single base unit of DNA. I told you, a deletion, something is taken away from that. And today, blacks understand what a mutation is because blacks know what albino is. Albino is a person that looks white, but the person is black. That person could have blonde hair. He could have blue eyes, but and he could be black, and he could come from two black parents. The insertion of a rearrangement of large section of genes, a mutation is ultimately the only way in which new variation enter into a species. In essence, what it's saying is after out of Africa, when people went up in the cold climates, they got lighter. Some of them went in those places and they became albinos. When they became albinos, now, it's Gregoire Mendel. Now, Mendel has what they call Mendel's Law. Gregoire Mendel tells us best about it, about that mutation. Gregoire Mendel studied the science of genetics, and he was a botanist. Now, listen to what Gregoire Mendel writes, and I want to really make this known to everyone listening tonight. Gregoire Mendel is not African American, nor was any of the one that I told Johansson. He was not African American. Okay, not one person that I call name, all these anthropologists and archaeologists, none were African American. Professor Leakey, none of these. Gregoire Mendel, all these are Caucasian. All of them have to admit that life started from African American. Why people hate you? Because they know who you are. They came from you. You did not come from them. And this is something that I want us to understand what this means. Gregoire Mendel, the science of genetics and botany, he says that black or brown skin is dominant genes. Light or white skin is a recessive gene. Brown eyes are dominant. Blue eyes are recessive. In other words, they are mutations. They're not the peer. They're not what comes from which is peer. Those of you who know something about agrarian society, planting and harvesting, grew up in the country and raised farm animals, a horse. If you're going to have a horse, and if you go get a thoroughbred, that thoroughbred is either going to be black or brown, not white. A white horse or a white dog or anything else is an albino. It's a mutation. It has a defect in it. And so does Caucasian. That's the thing. They know who they are. They know that they came off from you. They know that they came from Africa. Gregoire Mendel had this here in Mendel's Law. It's called the Law of Inheritance.
when whites left, when the blacks left out of Africa, and they went up in Europe and Eurasia, and they went up in these different parts, they began to go through a mutation, and their hair changed, and their facial color changed. And then in Mendel's law, say the law of inheritance. In other words, I look like my grandparents. I look like my parents. The way I look start being passed down. But one thing I want you to understand is, and I want us all to pay close attention to what I say. I told you dark skin is dominant. Dark skin means you carry a dominant gene. Light skin or white skin means you have recessive genes. Now, pay close attention to what I'm saying. You could get the recessive from the dominant. You could get a white child from two black people. But you can't get a black child from two white people because it's recessive. Now, you could get the dominant from the recessive because if a slight mutation happens, they could come out with albino. You've seen us make albino children. You haven't seen white people make black children unless they breed with a black person, unless they're having a relationship with a black, and then when we see them, we say that they mix. At the same time, they're going to always be known as being black because if the genes of a black person is dominant and the recessive gene comes from white. So no matter what if you do, if it's a white male and a black female, the child is going to take the dominant gene from the black person. If it's a black male and a white female, it's always going to be a black child and going to pass on the dominant gene because dark is dominant, pale or white is recessive gene. Blue eyes is recessive. I know we think beautiful blue eyes. That's just because we've been trained that whatever Caucasian have is better than what blacks have. And never told you that came from a recessive gene. It's nothing to be jealous about. Now, then he had the law of dominance and segregation. The law of dominance and segregation, what Gregory Mendel had, means the law of dominance, the people that live in certain areas that dominate that area, and segregated, meaning just whites were up in Europe, that the people that the procreation of the children is going to look like that because it comes from the first law, the law of inheritance and dominance and segregation. If I put nothing but black in an area, all the children will be black. But now if you put nothing but albinos in there, sooner or later, they're going to pass their gene down and all the children will be albinos. Now, then it's called the law of independent assortment. Now, that's when they started moving around and interbreeding with others and independently assorted with different other races. And we have biracials and we come up with the Asians and come up with Mexican, certain other, and we came up with different other things. And so when you're looking at that, we're talking about out of Africa. And, you know, when you're talking about the dominant gene, the law of dominance, parts that are here for a contrasting character, you know, we have to look at that. The pure part is being dark. And then you're going to always take on the chromosome. Your X chromosome going to come from the mother. Your Y, XY going to come from the father. And it's going to carry on, and you're going to put it out. Black and brown is dominant. White is recessive. Blue eyes is recessive gene. And see, this is being taught. They know it. Okay? They know it. Believe me, they know it. You know, when I think about that again, about the mutation. We have to understand, and we need to look that up, that term mutation, because then you'll know we actually, well, how people, different colors. And if everybody came from Africa, look up the term mutation. And I'm going to say it again. It is the change of a structure of a gene resulting in a variant form that may be transmitted to subsequent generations, meaning passed down. People start looking different and they pass it down. An alteration of a single base unit in your DNA. And I told you, all you have to do is look it up for a deletion of it. I told you, all you have to do is look it up and you'll find out that whites don't have melanin. They have everything we have, but they lack melanin. You never thought why they pay $1 million for a black or brown horse and then race them and call them thoroughbreds. It simply means that they're peer. You're a peer. You are the man that, you are the human being that God first put upon this earth. They know it, but you don't know it. Even biblical, you are the person that he put here. Now, I want you also to understand, too, they say that blacks were not wayfaring people traveling by boat. But I would like to say about from 1200 years BCE, before Christ, and that'll be going almost back to Moses' time, blacks were in America, may have been before that the indigenous so-called Indians were here. They were called Olmec people, O-L-M-E-C. You can look this up. This is not black history or anything like this. This is white history, but they do not teach it in classroom. It's Olmec, O-L-M-E-C. And they found these colossal heads made of stone. And some of them go to 900 years back. Some of them go 1,200 years back. They found 17 of them. And the Olmec is a civilization of ancient Mesopotamia, a Mesoamerican. Some are in Mexico, La Venta, Lorenzo, Veracruz, Tabasco. Like I say, some dating as far back as 1,200 years before Christ, some 400 years. Now, these things, some of them are tall as 14 feet high. In other words, almost two-spirit, the height of a two-spirit building. They got a man with a big old broad nose, big old lip that can only be identified as from the African continent. But they know they're here. They know it's here. All you have to do is look it up. And matter of fact, they have 17 of them that have been discovered to this date. 10 of them are in San Lorenzo. And 4 in La Venta. If you want to look it up, look it up. These things are, this is not things, and then somebody say, well, black people write all kind of things. No, these are things. No, they're not taught to kids in history. They're not taught that if they take the DNA right now of a white person and they take it back like you go back. Everybody came from Africa. Like they say, go back to Africa. You might as well load up a boat and go back with us too. Because everybody came from there. Everybody came from there. All of us. So don't go around saying those things that people are going around. Man, send you back to Africa. We'll find you are too, but you just don't want to admit to your heritage. Because you've been nomadic for years. You went off in the East. You left Africa and went and lived in caves. You're the one that lived in the cave. We didn't go and live in caves. Now, it's imperative, too, that we understand that even the Bible talks about the people in the Bible even were during Bible time were not Caucasian. Now, when it all starts, they talk about Shem, Ham, and Japheth being the sons of Noah. Now, it's been said that Ham is the father of the black race. Japheth is the father of the Caucasian race. And Shem is the father. They don't want to say what Shem is because they think you're not going to want to look it up and find out. But they gave this away. Zondervan Compact Dictionary. Now remember what I told you. Ham is the father of the African race. Japheth is European, Caucasian, or white, what they call themselves. But they don't say about Japheth, but Zondervan Bible Dictionary tells us what color was the children of Israel. Zondervan Compact Dictionary used this term, the youngest son the youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, not the Negro, but not the Negro. Did you catch what I just said? That if Ham is the father of the dark race, talking about Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, and Cyrene, and Canaan, but he's not the father of the Negro, who are you? You are the Negro. And the Negroes are black people that's in America today. They say, but not of the Negroes. Ham is not the progenitor of the Negroes. The only person it could have been is the progenitor that was left off of the conversation is Shem. And that is the progenitor of the children of Israel. Now, it's important that we understand, too. I know you'll say, well, they have these people in the Holy Land and they're white. That's not, well, to be just totally honest with you, they're not Israelites. They're from Japheth. And you have to be from the tribe. You have to come from the tribe, the lineage of Shem, to be an Israelite or a Hebrew. If you came off of Japheth, you are not a Hebrew or Israelite. Now, and I'm gonna tell you this, and I want you to look this up, and I want you to, you will find this out anyway, because I'm gonna go it on and break it down to you. The people that's in the Holy Land are not what they call themselves. They're not Israelites. They claim themselves to be Jews. But the Bible say those who call themselves Jews and who are not, that's who they are. The people, there's three main ethnic groups that's in the Holy Land today that occupy the Holy Land. And that is Ashkenaz Jews. And I want you to know that if you say that the person say they're Ashkenaz Jews, that means that you came from around Lithuania, Caucasia, or Russia. You can't be a Russian, you can't be a white person and be a Israelite or a Hebrew, first of all. Second group came from what you call is Khazars. That's north of Turkey. That's north of Turkey, going towards Germany. That's not, again, that's not Shem. That's Japheth. And the last one is called Sephardim. Now, I want you to understand that a serfdom simply means you're a Portuguese. You're from Portuguese, or if you're not from Portuguese, you're from Spain. A Spaniard is not from the tribe of Israel. These people were given the land by America, France, and Great Britain and others that gave the land, the people, a homeland. These were nomadic people that they gave a land. Look the names up, serfdom, Ashkenazi, Caucasian. And even if you would go to Genesis, the 10th chapter, you'll find out there tell you that Ashkenazi came off of Japheth. And I this is new, old, and maybe some so-called white Bible scholars. I want you to look this up, all you Caucasian Bible scholars. And I'm not trying to be messy or anything, but Black Study too. We do a lot of in-depth studying. And I want us to look this up. And this is what I want it to be. I want you to look up in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. The children of Japheth, mean the white race, the Caucasian race, left the Holy Land, not to come back for over 2,000 years, 2,000 plus years. Not to come back, because Abraham to Jesus is 2,000 years. So it was before Abraham time, when with Noah's Ark time, right around that time, when they built the Tower of Babel and their tongue were confounded, that they went up in Europe. So you're looking at, they didn't come back in your Bible. They have over 200 years non-existence, non-written about in the Holy Scriptures, in the Old Testament. They're not there. When they come back in, they come back in 400 years before when the Greeks came in, Alexander the Great came in and conquered over there at that time. Or when the Romans came in, right at that time, right before Jesus, about 400 years before Jesus. Theologically, it's called the 400 years of silence. That's when they came back into a place where you could find them. But it's something that we need to start on. And by the way, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. Right before then, around that region was called the land of Nimrod. Nimrod was Ham's grandson, and he was the one that was called a mighty before God. And Nimrod was black. Now, but then if you look up that area where Abraham came from in about 5,000 years ago, when the time when Abraham would have came from there, there was Semitic people called Sumerians. And the Semitic people were like, it was more of an Ethiopian civilization. Now, you could Google this. The Sumerians 5,000 years ago, their color was chocolate, and they had stoop noses, mean thick noses, and you know chocolate is not caramel. Chocolate is dark brown. So you know how the people look. So these are whites right now. You could Google these things. It's just that simple to find out. So we need to really, really find these things out. And then when we're looking for things, we ought to understand this. I want us to pay close attention to this. We wonder why white folks are so violent and white folks where they are. But before I get in there to talk about that, right now, the largest population so-called Jews or Russian Jews are the Ashkenaz, and the next is the Serfdoms, Khazars, and then the smallest group is the Serfdom. But now, going back into what we were talking about, it's important that we understand, too, about what's going on in the world today, and we're going to go back, and I'm going to show you some things. Now,
If you don't understand, whites are fighting for their survival. They have always been an evil group of people who have and fought. Everywhere they go, they try to take what others have. And most people are very spiritual, but they are not a very spiritual people. They fool, they'll tell us, they'll come and they'll tell us about God, which they do not believe in him. If they did, they couldn't do the things that they do. Now, I want you to understand this. In the world today, there are 7.5 billion people. 7.5, in other words, 7.5 billion people in the world today. That's the world population. Only 11% is white, Caucasian. Everybody else are people of color. In essence, 850 million people are white, not even 1 billion. Do you know, church? Not church, I'm a pastor, so I might say church. But don't you know that over 1 billion plus people that live on the African continent? That's not counting the Africans that came with the transatlantic slave trade. If you count them in the Caribbean islands, in the Caribbean or the Caribbean, there's 48 million of them out there on the island. That's close to 50 million Africans in America. That takes it right at 100 million people right there just in the Caribbean and in America. That's 1 million Africans that's in Canada. That's 1.5 million Africans that live in Mexico, which you don't understand that. There are 400,000 Aborigines that live in Australia. There's 150,000 blacks that live in Argentina. There are 8 million blacks that live in Europe. So when you do this, it's close to 1.2. It's about 1 billion, or almost 300 million blacks in the world. That dwarfs how many whites in the world. And then the rest of the population, China has about 3 billion, two and a half billion. India might be 1.8 billion. So that's what makes the world up. They are not a large population, and they are very, very warlike people. And I get sometimes people go around and say that the early white preachers used to preach per se that blacks were a curse. But I beg to differ with that. Blacks are not a curse, because nowhere in the entire Bible that a black person was a curse. But there is a place in the Bible where a white person became a curse. Now, if you look at it in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, starting around that 27th verse. That's 2 Kings now. And those who are studying with your Bible, you know what I'm talking about, the curse of Nam. And you'll find out that Nam, the curse of Naaman, is called the curse of Naaman. And when it talks about that curse of Naaman, it says, and when he came to the man of God, to the hills, he came up. Okay, that's the 5th chapter. I'm in the 4th chapter. I'm about to read it for you. It says, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the heaven leper white as snow. And he didn't say that he was going to be leprous. He said that the people, the person, Naaman's seed, all of his children and for all generations would be leper white.
He said for all generations. He didn't say that it was going to end. And you know, the Bible gives us so much to tell us what color people were. And tonight I won't have the opportunity to do certain things that I would like to do tonight, because we're running out of time. But if you look at it, you'll find out that all through your Bible, it's polar what color the people are. And when you look at that and find out what color these people were, you're going to find out that the people were black. The people were black. And even to this day, you'll find out they even said that they thought Paul, the Apostle Paul, was an Ethiopian. But now I'm going to give us these two, and I had my thesis laid before me, and I was going to read about Rahab being black, and how Shuhan the giant, that he was a giant, but he was black, about Shuhan the giant, about Rahab the black prostitute. But I'm gonna go with this tonight. First of all, I've always told you before to look up the term Igbo or Igbo. People, they're from Nigeria. A lot of the slaves are Igbo people. IGBO, or they could say Igbo. Oftentimes, they call themselves the tribe of Judah, or that they are Israelites from the tribe of Judah. Now, it's called the Lemba people that live in Zimbabwe, Africa, L-E-M-B-A. Now, they're really Israelites. And they even took their DNA and found out that they were the tribe of Levi. And, you know, when you say the tribe of Levi, you're talking about Moses. You talk about Moses' sisters and brothers and Moses. And then when you talk about, it's another group of people, 26,000 that they were going to bring to the Holy Land from Ethiopia, called the Phalacia, Beta Israel. And they are the tribe of Dan, the one that Samson came from. But now, this is so very important that I want us to listen at this. Gamal Abdel Nasser. In 1952, the second president of the United Arab Republic of Egypt, he's talking to people on national television. And what he told them was so profound. And we think about that, talking about pray for the peace in Israel. Why there is no peace in Israel? Because those are not Israelites who are there. You're never going to get peace until the real Israelites come back. Gamal Abdel Nasser was the president of the United Arab Republic of Egypt in 1952. He was president right before Anwar Sadat later became the black president up there. He was from the southern part of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, where the people look like. Nevertheless, well, that's a whole nother subject matter. Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech was, we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. A Gentile is a non-Jew, a non-Israelite. He called the people that live in there today Gentile. In other words, he said, you're not even who you say you are. He said, we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. This is now, look it up, Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech on television in 1952. He says, how can a man leave black and come back white? We, the Arab League, refuse to accept them. That's why no one accepting them.
Have you ever wondered why they're only the only white race that's there? Have you ever thought about how could Jesus be white? I even heard Billy Graham one time. Billy Graham, and I want you to understand, I thought he may be someone, a great evangelizer of our time, but he was a racist himself. And so the fruit don't fall far from the tree. His son is a racist too. But he made a statement. Jesus is not white. But he ain't black either. He in between. In other words, he say he's caramel color. That's not true. If Jesus' people came from came off of Abraham, that means he come from a Sumerian civilization, and the people with chocolate, you know how they look. So if you ever read in your Bible, if you ever watch in television, they always, even with the picture, you know, when they go in the pyramids and they start doing the work that was in the pyramid, they whitewash it. They paint it like when they go back over to the whole of the field, they redraw the people Caucasian. And the people know that what, you know, you had Nubian and other African rulers that ruled Egypt, but they don't show them. They always show if somebody's going to play the king of Egypt, it's going to be a white guy. But you sure don't see white people playing slaves. Oh, master, don't hit me in the back no more. Master, I love you. No, they're not going to put a white man doing that. But they sure say that the pyramid builders who built a 40-story building without a crane, a heavy equipment, and make them all be white, and never told you one time that in the Sudan that they have more pyramids in the Sudan, the Nubians had more pyramids than Egypt. But you didn't know that, did you? Or did you understand that in Africa they have they only show you half naked people? They only show you half naked people in a jungle setting, but they don't never show you the big skyscrapers and all these modern cities that they have. And that some of the cities and countries over there in Nigeria and other places, they have a higher rate of income than we have in certain places here. Why you think America don't go up and tell and show the hillbillies in Kentucky and Virginia and up in those areas in Tennessee? Those making moonshine that look like the Beverly Hillbillies living in huts. They're going to show New York, Houston. They're going to show LA. They're going to show major cities. Chicago. They show skyscrapers. Miami Beach. They show all that, but they're never going to show the people living in the swamps of Louisiana, living in their boat huts. The Europeans have whitewashed everything and have made everything into a lie. It's so hard for me to believe anything that comes, a movie or anything that they portray as history. That's why I do my end up studying myself, because some of them years ago, before they start doing the big cover up, wrote and told the truth. And so when I really dig into those books, I find that they tell the truth, but then later on the other one come back and try to say it was a mistake. Those weren't the people that was there, because they don't want to say that the knowledge that they have, they got it from Africa. Timbuktu, first colleges. I told you about the Igbo people. I told you about the Limba. I told you that the Limba people were the tribe of Levi, priestly tribe. But don't you know that the whites that was over there had the audacity when they were found out they were doing custom that was dealing with Judaism, and they were following the cultures of Judaism, being Hebrew Israelite culture.
they said that they were just trying to imitate those white folk in that land, that so-called Holy Land, what they got now, those so-called people over there. And to make them out alive, they took their DNA from these people that's supposed to have been perpetrated. And they took it to Duke University here in America. And Duke University did a DNA trace to find out they weren't African. They were Hebrews. That's why I told you earlier that they said that the Negro, that Negro didn't come off of Ham. The Negro did not stem from Ham. And if you understand what that means, if the Negro did not stem from Ham, where did they come from? Only other one is Chim. So if they come from Shem, that means that they are the chosen people. And they said that the Sumer, where Abraham came from, ran over the Chaldees, and which is called the land of Nimrod, whose grandfather was Ham. If they came from there, that simply means that they say that they were chocolate, colored people with stoop noses. And that simply means that they were look like Africans. That's why, and I'm about to come to the end and get some questions. Have you ever tried to put into your mind how did Joseph, when his brother sold him into bondage in Egypt, that when Joseph's brothers came back about 15 or 20 years later, and Joseph was a man and running Egypt. He was second in charge. He was the governor. That his brother took him to be an Egyptian. That's before Moses went there. If Egypt was black during that time, the people know that that was black Egypt. Well, if they were black, then what is it? He had to look like the people. Now watch this. Watch 1 second. Moses, Pharaoh said, kill all the firstborn Israelites or Hebrew babies, even the one that come off the birthing stool, even the ones up to 2 years old. But yet, Moses' mother, Jochebed, puts Moses in this basket and put pitch like tar on it and put it in the Nile and had her daughter Mary follow it. And the king's daughter follows and picked the basket out of the water. But she raised him in Pharaoh's house. She raised him as her own child. So they had to look like one another. They looked like one another. Moses passed to be black. Case in point, well, how do you say that? Well, when Moses killed the Egyptian and he fled to the land of Midian, the Midianites were Ethiopian. When his wife Zipporah first met him, she told her father Reuel, and somebody would call him Jephthah, but the name Reuel, told Reuel that they found an Egyptian. Throughout the Bible, even Tacitus, the Roman historian and Philo, both said that the ancient Israelites, Hebrew, were of African descent. Romans knew it. They have it written. Look up Tacitus and look up Philo. Even the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus admits it. So they know who you are, but it's been hidden from us, and we don't like to pick up a book and read. So I'm going to open it for anyone who like to ask a question or would like to have something they'd like to share. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. Kim. Thank you for such a powerful show. Right now, we like to open up the lines at 858-357-9137. We like to open up the lines if anyone have any questions, statements, or comments for Dr. Kemp. Now is your time to speak with him. The line is now open to you. God bless you. Good evening and welcome to the show. Is there anyone here who would like to talk to Dr. Kemp? Once again, the line is open to you. Those that are holding that would like to speak with Dr. Kemp, the line is open to you now. God bless you. Good evening. Welcome to the show. Okay, Pastor, they are listening, but no one has any questions, comments, or statements. So go ahead. It's back to you, sir.
Okay. I would just like to say that it's my prayer that we'll all go out and vote. Each one reach one. If not each one reach one, each one reach 10. If you have to pick them up, carry them to the polls on your back. Wait 20 hours in the snow. You take them to vote. We have to get rid of this man that's in office. He has to go. This man is a dictator. This man is xenophobic. This man here is a misogynist. This man hates other races. Well, really, he hates anybody that's not rich. And he hates other rich people. He just want to use them to help him get riches. But this man, he don't deserve. He's a dummy, first of all. And I'm going to say it, he's a dummy. He don't have what it takes to be a president. He was elected because people thought they wanted change. And then he stroked, they wanted change, but also he stroked the thing that America was founded on racism. America has always been a racist country. And he found out that if he stoked that if he portrayed America for who America is, that he could get so many of the votes. Jesse Wallace said to be elected in Alabama, he said he wasn't really a racist, but he said what he knew, what it took to get him elected. He had to preach the race game just to get elected, and people did it for the run for president and other offices. All they did was play the race card. And this country has always been controlled by white supremacy. And we have one in office right now. The Klans that even admitted, David, you know, admitted that they have somebody who was on their side now. He tried to find it okay for somebody to come from another state and come into the state and shoot three people, killing two of them. Two of them are deceased. But it was okay for this man to come in and do it. What kind of person is this to say that this person is a leader of a country? So I ask that we would start reading and studying, learn about yourself, and take it to our children. It's time that we tell our children, literally tell our children the truth. Let's tell our children the truth, but we tell them when they go to school what we want you to do. When you go to school, this is what I expect out of you. If they tell you Columbus discovered America, you write it down. But I want to tell you that Columbus did not discover America. He never set foot in America. And show them the books to prove it. Show them the books to prove it, that he never set foot in America. Tell them the truth, that America wasn't founded on Christian principles, but on a whole bunch of savage people, that a bunch of savages came over and murdered the indigenous people. These savages came over and murdered the indigenous people. These savages raped and kidnapped and murdered our people and brought them to America. Tell them that this country was built on the blood, sweat, and tears of slavery of black people. Tell them that the majority of the income from the 1600s through the 1800s when America was
made America and was really turned to be a so-called great state came off the blood, sweat, and tears of blacks who built railroads, who planted indigo, corn, cotton, sugar. And cotton made so much money, and they couldn't build. And they said, well, up north they had textile. Well, you need cotton to deal with textile. We were the greatest import of Europe came from America was cotton and sugar. And then we had textile going over there. So, and that's where America come. America owed blacks, if they would ever ask you, even if they gave you 7 cents almost a day or 7 cents an hour, that would still end up would be $17 to $19 trillion that blacks are owed. And then if you break that down in between 48 million people, you would be super, each black person who came from the line of slave would be pretty, pretty well off, millionaires. But they know it and they won't give it to you. They'll talk about all this, that, and the other. We can't afford it. You could afford to do everything else, but you can't afford to give the people who are responsible for building this country. You can't afford to give the people who are responsible for doing all these things anything. You can't afford it. And it behooves me to say it. It's time that you man up and give us what's due. It's time that you man up. You gave everybody else reparation, but without giving everybody else reparation, you have to understand that the so-called Jews or Ashkenaz who they slaughtered these folk who did they slaughter? They got reparation. We didn't get anything, and that was no more than 5 or 6 years. Those who in World War II, the Japanese, they were putting concentration camps. That wasn't for about 4 years. They got paid. You're looking at over 250 years plus another 155 years. Jim Crow, systemic racism, we still going through it. You lost a hell of a lot. Time to pay up. Amen. God bless you. And I just like to just commend Reverend William for his talk show and give me the opportunity to share with each and every one every Tuesday night at 7. It's a privilege to do research. It's a privilege to be one who do the sharing. It's a privilege, but sometimes I love for others to ask questions or to give some feedback on what's going on. But this man of God, who we talk about the Lord all the time, from Monday through Thursday, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Land. It's all about talking about doing the right thing and living a right life. That's what it's all about. Knowing the truth is that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, I've been made free. In other words, other people have been set free. So you're still in bondage to drugs, cigarettes, all kind of things. You're still in bondage thinking about what people haven't done for you and what white folks. They don't have nothing. If you don't give me nothing, fine. If you don't give me a thing, fine. I'm not in bondage to you. I'm going to go to sleep and sleep well at night because you don't control my mind. I am in control. I don't need you for anything. Just mail my checks to me and I'll make it from here. Oh, we just thank you and I praise God for his grace, his mercy. I thank God for his goodness and mercy. I thank God for everything that he's done. I want to give a shout out to Reverend Mac Jones, who's been dealing with COVID-19, and my family buried our cousin today, Vita Ferdinand. Some of you might have heard Don Lemon on CNN talking about his friend, Vita Ferdinand. It came on Thursday night before he came on, and he talked about it. That was his friend.
and how much he's going to miss her, and that her mother lived across from him. And so with that said, we are all losing people, and I'm praying for my friend and my brother in the gospel, Reverend Mac Jones. I'm praying for him. I'm just praying that everything works well with him, and he may be listening tonight. God bless you, Reverend Jones. I talked to him right before I came on air, and I've been telling Reverend William about you, Reverend Mac Jones. I have a cousin also. I think he's listening in, too. But God bless you guys, and appreciate you guys listening in, and to all those who are listening in, no matter what state, if you're over it. Once we had more people in Africa was listening at us. And if you're in Africa, well, God bless you too. And continue, we are rooted from you, and we grow our strength from you guys. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to ask Reverend William, would he like to say something again? This is a great man of God, Reverend William. He is a great man of God. I just hold him and I esteem him very highly. Reverend William, do you have something you'd like to say before we pray our way out?
Well, God bless you, Pastor. God bless you for that. And I thank God. I give him all the honor, glory, and praise for what he is doing in my life and what he is allowing to use me to present his word and his works to his people. So I thank God for that. I want to let everybody know that we'll be back here tomorrow night with the Men of Valor and the P31 ladies, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'd love for you to come and be a part of the show. Speak up and speak out. Let your voices be heard. There's a lot going on in our world today, and we need to let our voices be heard through voting, through speaking up and speaking out, and getting in front of these situations and being disciples of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you, and thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come asking, Lord, that and praying, Lord, that it was something said, something done that gave us more understanding of this world and your creation, gave us some knowledge of your holy word, about your Bible. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us and strengthen us, Lord,
please,
and that you would keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Now, Heavenly Father, so where we're torn down, and strengthen us, Lord, where we're weak. For Father, you know what we stand in need of. Father, we're asking, Lord, that you would bless those who are suffering with COVID-19. Lord, we pray that you would stand by their side, be by their bedside, stand by their families. Bless those who lost loved ones to COVID-19. Strengthen them. Let them know they have our condolence, but let them know that there's no wound that Mother Earth could give that God cannot heal. Lord, we ask us that you continue to stand by us. Lord, you stood by us through 400 years of slavery and white supremacy. We know you're going to continue to stand by us because we depend on you. Now, Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless everyone. Bless our leaders. Although I don't agree with them, but I ask that you would bless them and open their eyes that they may see your glory.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, we ask that you bless our religious leaders who are compromised by political gangs or political people. Open their eyes and let them know that they're not representative of a GOP or a Democrat. They represent Jesus,
Lord,
Almighty Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for future blessing upon each and every one of us. We pray for our past and future. We ask that you bless our children, grandchildren, mother, father, sisters, and brothers. We pray all the people, Lord, that you would walk with them, keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. And as our children and grandchildren and friends who have kids go back to school, we ask that you put your loving arms of protection around them. Keep them safe from COVID-19, Lord. Keep them safe from perverts. Keep them safe, Lord. And keep our children from killing one another, Lord.
Help us, Lord,
that we can teach our children that they're not thugs or G's, but that, yes, they're you're a child of the King. You're a child of God. You are a child of God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray for strength, we pray for love, and we pray for peace. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Name.
Amen. I love everybody, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. We love you, and we'll see you all tomorrow night. Have a safe and blessed evening. Good night, everybody. Be blessed.
People, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, oh. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me. For peace.
Why
work for peace? Lion from Zion, I am a king, and you're a queen. We'll make it through it all, no matter what the cost. We're family, yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
We're family. Wow,
wow.
Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I fail.
Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of Valor, Brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need must be addressed and confronted every Thursday. Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, Y-A-T Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.